This week, we honor the memory of Marcia Norris and her 17-year-long battle against cancer. The following show is taped prior to the Norris Group's fundraising event, I Survived Real Estate, which benefited breast cancer research. Thank you for your support and prayers. Marcia will be greatly missed and forever loved. We were so privileged to have her in our lives.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thanks for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and the first thing I wanted to do was invite you to a special event that we have August 23rd. It'll be held at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda. And the title will be I Survived Real Estate 2008. It's going to be for the benefit of the Komen, Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Proceeds from the event will be donated to help find a cure for breast cancer. The event is attempting to bring together the leaders of many of the groups that have a facet in the real estate business, builders and economists and investors and realtors and auctioneers, so we can put our heads together and figure out where we've been, where we're going to go, how we survived 2008 and prosper into 2009. The event wouldn't be made possible without the support of a number of people. The San Diego Creative Investment Association and Bill Tan, Investors Workshops out of Orange County, Sean Watkins, Fry Wiles, Web Development, Internet Marketing and Creative Design Firm, Proxy Bid, airing the event live over the Internet, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, and White House Catering. What we're going to be attempting to do is educate each other as to the different facets of the business that each of us bring uniquely to the real estate world, talk about the solutions that we can deal with over the next few years as we deal with a glut of foreclosures, how the investors can profit and help solve the real estate problems that we're dealing with. It'll be open to questions, and so we're looking forward to this event. Again, August 23rd at the Nixon Library. You'll be checking our website. We'll be bringing you updates on this event as we go. We're going to begin our series of interviews. Some of them will be panelists at the event. But today we're joined by my wife, Marcia, who has battled breast cancer very courageously for over 12 years. Marcia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
An annual breast exam took a kind of a serious turn in 1995 for us. We were asked to get a second opinion for the first time. And when we went into that second doctor's office, that meeting went a little bit different than we thought it might. What were your feelings that day when we went through that?
First of all, fear and just disbelief that this was happening. But as we sat in that doctor's office, we both noticed that everybody who came out of his office were missing parts, legs, arms, whatever. So it was getting scarier by the minute. And when we met him, it didn't quell our fears any at all. He was not he had no bedside manner whatsoever. Very cold, distant, and very unsupportive.
Yes, and he drew a pretty quick conclusion about what your choices would be, and as I recall, reached for his daytimer and basically told you could fit into his surgery schedule on Tuesday.
Yes, that was pretty cold.
That was
pretty cold.
What the next 24 hours? How did you deal with that? I mean, you basically had an initial reaction, and then it changed to something else.
Right. Well, there in the office after that, and the traumatic experience that he put me through there in the examining room. You were with me, but I think I remember telling you, I just have to leave. I have to go. So I left to go to my best friend. I still get choked up. And I had a good cry. And then I came home and took a nap. And when I got up, I said, okay, I'm ready to have some lunch. I'm ready to eat and go to the bookstore. And that's what we did. And, you know, that's kind of how I get guidance. I kind of back off and calm down. And it seems to, I'm being led where I need to go. So when I walked into that bookstore, the very first book that I saw on the shelf that I'd never seen before was a book called Keep Your Breast by Susan Moss. And I bought that book and I went home and I just read the whole thing that day.
Does that seem to be a pattern that's healthy for you, is to go through that initial response of whatever it is, whether it be sadness or fear, and then you go on the attack mode, it looks like, and you don't want to hear about whatever they think is going to happen?
Yeah, I allow myself some time to, I guess, digest it and feel sorry for myself and have a little pity party, you might say. But then I go, okay, well, this isn't doing me any good, so I need to get up and I need to take responsibility and action of what I can do to help myself.
Usually, and you do have several very close friends that have been with you every step of the way, what advice would you give to a friend that's just been told that someone they know has cancer?
First and foremost, their support group is critical. You need to stay away from people who are going to doubt that you'll survive and that you're going to get constant support of people going, you can do this, I believe in you, and we're here for you.
You know, once you get diagnosed with something like this, there's an expectation somehow when people meet you that haven't seen you for a few months that you're going to look markedly different or be sad.
Yeah. I had that response even at a church when we went to church with my mom one Sunday. And these ladies, this one particular one, she walked up to me and she had tears in her eyes and she patted my hand and she said, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh, I have got to get out of here. So your support is so critical. But then beyond that, you have to self-educate. You cannot put your life in the hands of doctors. They do the best they can, but they have their protocol. And as you know, that's a word that just raises the hair on the back of my neck. And they will do what's in their best interest above your best interest.
After that first visit, we went through a series of physicians. I mean, I can't remember how many, but it seemed like we went to four or five different doctors looking for some place that felt comfortable, and we didn't feel comfortable for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And what was that journey like? Because, I mean, we were reading the whole time, and I know we went through a number. We didn't end up going to this one place, but we ended up with somewhere where there was a cancer center that felt for the first time that these were specialists that really understood what we were going through.
Well, we had gone to our family doctor for an opinion. And you had asked him, if this was your wife, where would you take her? What would you do? And he said, oh, without a doubt, I'd go to UCLA to Dr. Susan Love.
Right.
And so that's where we went.
That's right. Now, what was unique about their approach? Because to me, it was a breath of fresh air. It wasn't just one person even that we saw.
Right. They treated you as a whole person. They were interested in not just your physical well-being, your psychological well-being, your spiritual well-being. They were there to support you completely, even afterwards. I mean, there was cosmetic surgery if you needed it, and the psychological support if you needed it as well. So I like their approach. They treated you as a whole person.
You almost felt like you were going to be the only patient they could possibly see that day because you were going through a series of interviews with each of the people.
Right.
And then you were told that they were all going to meet just on your case that afternoon and then give some recommendations. And it was really the first time I think we felt a ray of hope that we actually had hit pay dirt in the sense that we were going to get support and there were some options.
Right. Right. It was very refreshing. I remember the psychologist that came in to see us. I remember seeing her write on the paper, patient is very angry. I'm like, dang right. Because no one was listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like we finally got to a place where someone was listening finally.
There is a word that is common when dealing with doctors and cancer, and that word is protocol. How does the word protocol strike you?
It makes me feel angry because to me it's them telling me, this is what we're going to do whether you like it or not. This is what we deem you need. And they don't take into consideration who you are or how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Have we noticed that protocol has occasionally changed over time?
Oh, absolutely. I I ended up with having to go to a doctor for a thrombus vein, and on the same side that the cancer was. And he was a younger doctor. And when he came in to see me, he says, "So what did the lymph nodes tell you?" And I said, "They didn't tell me anything because I didn't let them take them." At that point, he looked at me. He says, "Well, good for you." And I was really kind of shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know, in probably 10 more years, we won't do that anymore. However, if you had been my patient, I would have insisted because that's our protocol." At which point I said, "Well, you could have insisted all you wanted, but this is my body, and I will do what's best for me."
Where did this independent streak come from?
You know what? I credit it all to having gotten cancer. It has given me more strength and self-confidence than I ever thought I could have. It's made me have to stand up and fight for myself. And so, in a way, cancer's been a blessing.
What lessons do you think your family has learned by observing your attitude to what you've dealt with?
Well, I would hope that they have seen strength for carrying on, never giving up. You know, because people that see me, it's interesting, they'll say, "Well, you don't look like you have cancer. You look really good." And I'm like, "Well, as long as I'm still breathing, there's still hope."
I can't tell you how many times our kids have come up to me on the sly and asked me, "Does Mom still have cancer?" Because you don't look like you do. And that is a very high compliment.
Well, attitude is everything. I really do believe that. Support is great. Self-educating is next. But the very next critical thing is your attitude.
After we got this initial news, you went through two breast surgery before getting the all clear. Then 5 years came and went without any further incident. After 5 years, did you feel we were going to have this behind us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought, yes, I've beat the odds here. I'm past the so-called deadline, and I'm in the clear.
What was the first sign of the cancer's return?
I started to develop a pain in an area where I sit down, and it felt like I had been bruised or kicked really bad, but it never got better. And so I went and had a biopsy done at that time, and that's when they found it had gone to the bone.
The diagnosis was that the breast cancer had metastasized, and that was about 7 years ago. And I remember standing in our home office holding each other crying when we read what the prognosis was for the woman with a metastasis. You've been told point blank by a cancer expert at UCLA you have terminal breast cancer. That was about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What went off in your head when he said that?
Well, like any normal person, initially fear, but then disbelief, and then it's not acceptable.
Yes.
Not acceptable.
That always kicks in with you. And I remember this was probably only 2 years ago where he said that same thing in no uncertain terms. And we got into the elevator, and I, you know, it certainly took its toll on me when I heard it. And you looked it right at me and you said, "I just want you to remind you that we were told that 7 years ago."
Right.
So in other words, it didn't hold any water then.
No.
It doesn't hold any now.
No.
You know, during the last 13 years, we've had a lot of scary moments, but somehow you've endured through those tough times and kept an unbelievably positive attitude. So let's talk about how important that attitude is toward having a good journey with this and also getting better.
Okay. The attitude, you have to really, what is the word I'm looking for? You need to keep yourself encouraged. Because a lot of time others outside, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say to encourage you. So what I recommend is people go out and they find books and articles of survivors. And they read those. Because we're out there. There are survivors. And we have quality of life. As long as you don't allow them to poison and radiate you to death. But in the process, if you also know how to support yourself through nutritionists and doctors that can help you with your immune system, alternative doctors.
A lot of what you've chosen to do in battling this has would be considered alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. Why has that been part of what you decided on, aside from the protocol of the doctors? Because you haven't completely ignored that side either.
No, I believe they work together. But I don't believe I have cancer because I don't have enough radiation in my body.
Right.
Okay, that does not make sense to me.
Okay.
And I'm finding out that there, it's things that, it starts with me. I create my own world. And so that means I need to work from the inside out and not blame everything on the exterior that this is happening to me. I refuse to become the victim.
What are some of the treatments that you've gone through that you feel have been most beneficial in the alternative world?
Definitely attending Optimum Health Institute in San Diego for their cleanses, because they also educate you there.
Explain what that is. That's about a one-week stay when you do it?
It can be from a one-week to a three-week stay.
Okay.
It can be.
That's right. You've done both.
And all 3 weeks, they have different classes to educate you and help you move through emotions and pain and teach you what you need to do for self-care. But they're also very emotionally supportive to you there.
Okay. When we get to the point where we're all clear and we have a cure, I'm not sure we'll know what it was.
Right.
There's so many things simultaneously
right. Well,
being done.
We do so many things. I take so many supplements, and I try to eat right. I don't always, but I try to eat mostly what I know is best for me. And then I go every week to a doctor in Irvine who boosts my immune system through IVs. And those are things that feed my system. They don't deplete me. They build me up. And I work with a nutritionist. So they all kind of keep me focused and keep me on course.
I mean, we have several machines at home that do things that are unusual.
Right. I have a Rife machine, which is a frequency machine. I have a Life machine that does some of the same things. I have a far infrared sauna, which is supposed to be great for killing cancer cells.
And some yummy tasting herbs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I've done acupuncture. And actually, the acupuncture after radiation helped me get out of pain.
You know, what's been neat is the group of clubs that we have spoken at through the years, when they heard you have breast cancer, it's every month we get something from the San Diego club, from Bill Tan and Helen, and it's flowers, and we
yes.
get and we get special juice. I mean, we have several cases of juice,
right.
Goji juice or whatever. It's just nice, the response of the group.
I've been very blessed, and we've been very blessed that the outreach of friends that have been there to support us both through all of this. It's been wonderful.
How important do you think it is to believe in the treatment you've chosen?
It's crucial. Because I know I talked to a woman who decided she was going to take chemotherapy. I never took chemo because I felt like it would be too detrimental to me. It would tear me down. It would weaken me.
I also remember you saying for you that taking chemotherapy would mean that you were trying to put off death rather than pursue health.
Right.
So everything that you're pursuing is something that you see as a means to the end, and the end is it's over and it's better.
Right. Well, the woman who decided to go through chemo, though, she said she never would allow herself to be around people who didn't believe the chemo would be good for her.
That's important.
Because she had to believe that was going to work for her.
Right. This isn't one size fits all.
No.
But when you choose a treatment, it's got to be the one that you believe in, because that has an effect, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you said surrounding yourself with a support system has been very important as well.
Mm-hmm.
What facets of that does that take? I know that's sometimes in the form of friends and family. Where does that extend? You also, I mean, you really go into the alternative as far as all the books. My goodness, you probably read 10 books a month on this.
Right. Well, I read a lot, not just on cancer, though. I read on programs that help me as a person evolve spiritually. Your spiritual support is very critical, your belief in God. And you get your support through your churches, too. I have so many friends and family members that have their churches praying for me as well, which it makes you feel really good to know there are that many people out there that care about you that will take the time to pray for you. There's organizations as well that you can turn to that have free services for support. One of them is called the Breast Cancer Network of Strength. And they're very important because they have a 24/7 hotline called Your Shoes, and it's cancer survivors that are there to talk to you.
As your husband, I remember getting, on occasion, we've gotten bad news, and usually it's on a subject I don't know beans about when I first hear it. And so I've gone to the Susan G. Komen website many times and late at night when you didn't know it, and read tons of pages and watched videos to understand what it was and what the choices were. So that a lot of this is new. You know, you don't really think you're going to deal with it. It's not something you prepare for well in advance, and all of a sudden you're faced with it and you realize we're in uncharted territory. But there's a lot of people that have gone through it before, so there is a support group, and that seems to be very important, especially dealing with people that have survived. Sort of like if you did end up having an accident or you couldn't walk, you know, you'd want to find the group that was skiing without the legs or something, you know, because you'd want to hang around the people that had gotten over it. What's the best thing a husband can do to support a wife with cancer?
Patience and understanding. And that's big, because I know you've been as afraid as I've been, and it's a very difficult place to be in. But you have to be supportive, and yet let the person go through the emotions they're feeling, and not say things like, "Well, you shouldn't feel that way," you know, because we have a right to feel whatever it is, angry, sad, scared. You know, it's important that we process those feelings. So just to be there and be supportive of that. And you don't have to always try to be happy and up for us. That's an unrealistic thing, and that comes through.
We go to fix-it mode quite often.
Yeah, you do.
And some of the things just take, it's not in your control. You know, you really don't have control of it.
No, but just being there, and for me, it's been you telling me whatever you need, we'll get it, or whatever you need to take, we'll go get the stuff, or if you need to go someplace, we'll do it.
You know, I think that's, in a way, we've been very fortunate. I remember the very first time I ever taught at the Learning Annex before we had a seminar business at all. The very first time I taught, there was a gentleman that needed to know the business because his wife had just been diagnosed with cancer, and he did not have the money to solve it. He didn't have the option, so I can imagine how frustrating that would be. Looking back, what would you do differently in dealing with cancer?
Nothing.
I thought that would be your answer.
Nothing. No, I have always kind of followed my gut instinct and my heart on what I felt was what I needed to do for me. Like I said, I incorporate a lot of prayer. So I depend a lot on God.
Your brother Kenny, who definitely views himself as a pretty tough guy, took me aside and he says, "You know, Marsha's the toughest person in our family, tougher than me." I just want to say I love you very much. I've been so impressed with your courage. You've been such an example to our family. And we're going to keep fighting this until we beat it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us a very personal journey. You know, over the past 13 years of dealing with breast cancer, a lot of progress has been made in the type of treatments available to stall the growth of cancer and help with pain. On August 23rd, we invite you to join us at the Nixon Library as we hold a cancer fundraiser, and we share with the audience a way to make money and survive 2008 and progress into 2009. Thank you for joining us this week.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
Catch Bruce Norris June 25th at the Investors Workshop in Orange County, or June 30th at the Financial Women's Group in Palo Alto. Visit thenorrisgroup.com for event details.